Hey everybody, it's Shaman Sister Sin, and you're listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org and betterhelp.com. That's me, the Little Shaman. Today I want to talk to you about something a lot of people are struggling with, and that is the idea that it's up to them to manage the toxic or abusive people in their lives. Just about everyone has at least one toxic person in their lives, and many people have several in different areas. For example, you might have some toxic family members and also some toxic coworkers. Toxic in this context means unhealthy. There are various levels of unhealthy behavior, from someone being unaware of toxic behaviors to being purposely and maliciously abusive. People have choices regarding how they choose to deal with toxic people in their lives. They may choose to keep the person at arm's length, only dealing with them when absolutely necessary. They may choose to interact with the person by responding rather than reacting, basically attempting to ignore the toxic or abusive behavior. They may choose to cut all ties with the person entirely, effectively removing the person and the toxicity from their lives completely. It's up to each individual, their situation, and what they believe will work for them. However, with that being said, it's important to understand why you are making the choice that you're making. If you're choosing to end the relationship, why are you choosing to do that? If you're choosing to manage the relationship rather than walk away, why are you choosing to do that? Some people might not even consciously realize they have a choice, so it's important to understand the choice you're making and why. Many times, the reason a person is choosing not to conclude their dealings with someone is because they believe they are required to manage other people and relationships even when they are unhealthy or abusive. This is not the case. It is a narrative created by abusers and toxic people who are unwilling to take responsibility for themselves and their behavior that is then often reinforced by well-meaning others who are unfamiliar with the situation or who don't have strong boundaries of their own. We sometimes see this played out in situations by people who fear they will be adversely affected by someone's decision to end their participation in a relationship. Because of their own inability to create and enforce boundaries, the other person's enforcing of boundaries is seen as a direct threat to them. For example, Billy and Bobby are both in their 30s. They have an abusive mother who is also overly involved in their lives and insists they respond to her beck and call no matter what they might have going on. Billy's perspective begins to change, and he realizes that his relationship with his mother needs strong boundaries. He decides that moving forward, he will no longer take his mother's daily calls or respond to her daily insistence that he report to her everything that he's doing. Bobby becomes alarmed by this decision. He knows that this means their mother will double the demands that she places on him and that he's going to be put in the middle. Because he is unable to create or enforce boundaries of his own with her, he blames Billy for the problem and his own reaction to that problem, saying Billy is being selfish and unfair. Bobby believes that Billy is required to share the responsibility of catering to their mother's toxic, abusive demands, and that if he will not, Billy is the one who is being selfish and abusive. Sadly, this game of emotional hot potato is often played out in abusive or toxic families and social circles. In this dynamic, no one requires abusers or toxic people to take accountability for themselves, their choices, or their behavior, and no one understands or holds healthy boundaries. Responsibility for this person is simply passed around amongst people in the family or the group, with everyone believing that it's their job to manage this person, their feelings, their reactions, their lives. Anyone attempting to create healthy boundaries inside such a dynamic will usually find themselves in a very uncomfortable position because their attempt to create boundaries is not only seen as a threat to the other people, it directly impacts the belief system of the family or the group. If it is not their job to maintain and manage relationships with unhealthy or abusive people at all costs, what have they been doing all this time? Even worse, someone severing ties with an abusive person can feel like an indictment. In this dynamic, people are often completely enmeshed with each other and have lost all perspective of clear boundaries. So it turns into a situation where if the abuser is hurt, they are also hurt. If the abuser is bad, they are also bad. All of this conspires to create an environment where people are conditioned to believe that it's their job to manage relationships with abusers and other toxic people. It's extremely important to understand that this is not true. It is never required for you to stay in a relationship with anyone who treats you even less than respectfully, let alone abusively. And it is not your job to take responsibility for another adult, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Not only is it not your responsibility, it's not even possible. You do not and cannot control another person's thoughts, feelings, or behavior. If you can't control something, how could you possibly be responsible for it? What ability do you truly have to do anything about it? Is it logical to believe that someone has total freedom to choose any behavior at all for any reason at all, which they do, but somehow another person is responsible for that? That is the crux of the matter here, understanding that you are not responsible for or in control of the thoughts, feelings, or actions of other people, ever. Because we have no ability to control the internal experiences and resulting behavior of others, trying to manage these things is extremely frustrating. It's an exercise in futility that results in people running on a hamster wheel, expending furious effort for no results. It causes confusion, pain, suffering, and it traps people in an endless cycle of trying and failing to make things the way this other person wants them to be, whatever that is. The belief that doing this for a person is somehow someone else's responsibility is a belief wholeheartedly supported by abusers who take no responsibility for themselves at all and generally feel controlled by other people anyway. Because they are unable to manage themselves, they feel entitled to being supported and cared for in this way by others and will punish anyone who fails, which is everyone who tries, because what they're asking for cannot be done. The fact that there are times when these attempts to manage the behavior and external experiences of others seems to work only serves to reinforce the idea that it's possible to do so, resulting in creating an even stronger commitment to this belief for both the abuser and the people around them, despite the fact and the proof that it isn't actually true and it doesn't actually work. The internal experiences of people, all people, are being influenced at all times by their thoughts, their feelings, their perceptions, their conditioning, their beliefs, their experiences, their history, literally hundreds of millions of pieces of information that have absolutely nothing to do with you or anything that you are doing. This doesn't mean that no one can affect the thoughts, feelings, or behavior of other people, of course, but it does mean that this influence is frankly negligible in comparison to everything else going on. This is particularly true for those dealing with a personality disorder or a related psychological challenge because their interpretation of things, including these hundreds of millions of pieces of information, is not usually trustworthy, logical, or realistic. This is why we need to stop trying to manage narcissists and anybody else. It's not possible. It doesn't work. It is a fundamentally flawed belief to think that we can control the behavior or internal experiences of other people. Most of the time, as we discussed earlier, this belief is the result of conditioning. For example, Becky was raised in an abusive environment. Her father was both physically and emotionally abusive to the whole family. He was never required to take responsibility for his own behavior or his choices. The family was required to take responsibility for managing his reactions and his behavior. If he was woken up from his nap, he would always become angry and sometimes become violent. If Becky accidentally woke him up, because her mother could not control her father's behavior, she would chastise Becky for waking him up. This indirectly created the idea in Becky that she was responsible for managing her father's behavior. It was never even mentioned that Becky's father had a choice in his reaction or that he alone was responsible for his behavior. The message given by both parents and internalized by Becky is that she is responsible for managing the reaction and behavior of other people and that they are not responsible for anything. This is conditioning she will carry forward through her life and into her adult relationships until she learns differently. This is just one example of the type of situation that can create this kind of conditioning. Exploring your life and your history, you'll probably find the situations that have contributed to your mindset and your conditioning as well. It's important to challenge these things because they're not true. We must confront and address this conditioning if we're going to be able to stand in our own power and believe that it's okay to do so. Most importantly, we must reject the narrative coming from anybody, including ourselves, that it's our responsibility to manage or maintain relationships with people who do not treat us in a manner that is commensurate with our value. I hope this clears a few things up for you. As always, I look forward to your comments, questions, and suggestions, so please keep those coming. I take appointments online, over the phone, via text, via messenger, via email, and through Skype. So if you're interested in speaking with me one-on-one, you can visit littleshaman.org and click the book and appointment tab to go ahead and do that. I run workshops a few times a month, so if you're interested in seeing what we're running at this time, you can visit littleshaman.org to do that as well. You've been listening to the Meditations and More podcast brought to you by littleshaman.org and betterhelp.com. That's me, a little shaman. May the great spirit bless you and have a wonderful day.